The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Sit down. No zipper on these. Just because I look stupid doesn't mean I am. Trust me, you've been in the ministry long enough, you learned to surreptitiously check it before you get up there. Good morning. Glad you guys are here today. Topic of today is Band of Brothers. We're going to talk about our theme, Band of Brothers, and I will tell you that I think guys have been Lone Rangers for too long. We're good at doing the Lone Ranger thing. We're good at thinking that somehow we're tough enough to go on our own, and that's why so many of us struggle. So let's pray, and let's see what God has for us today. God, thanks. Lord, we ask that you'll bless us this morning. Father, I pray that every man's heart would be open. God, that we would strip away our pride and our stuff that gets in the way, God, and we would just be naked and open before you today, God. That our hearts would open to you. Father, thanks. God, I pray that my words would be direct from you. Bless us now, God. We ask it in your name. Amen. We talked about broadcasting these live, but we decided we wouldn't. That way, if we have to edit anything out, we can. I like talking to men. I like preaching at church too, but I like talking to men because I get a chance to be a little more blunt. Blunt force object. One summer night during a severe thunderstorm, mom's tucking her baby into bed. She's about to turn off the light when she hears a little boy ask her, "Mommy, will you stay with me all night? I'm scared. Storm." Smiling, the mother gave him a warm, reassuring hug and said tenderly, "I can't, dear. I have to sleep in Daddy's room." After a long silence, the little kid said, "He's a big sissy." You ever gone through a storm alone? You ever just weathered the storm all by yourself, you know? I have a friend who was in Jamaica, or Haiti, during one of those tornadoes that whips through there. And he had never been in one. He was from Alhambra, up in L.A. So he says, "I'm going to go out and look and see what it is." He goes out, and he doesn't realize that the winds are really strong. That's why they have all that damage that goes with them. So he's standing there, and he said he knew he was in trouble when a Doberman Pinscher flew past him. Literally flew past him, barking. Bah, bah, bah. So he grabs hold of a tree or a pole or something there, and he ends up like vertical. Or horizontal? No, horizontal. And he's just kind of laying out there. And he goes, "That's when I knew I was in trouble." It's, you know, I think that's the way a lot of us are. The winds are blowing like crazy. The rain is falling. Doberman Pinschers are flying past in our lives. And we're like, "Oh, I can do this. Yeah, this is fine." It's not fine. And you need a band of brothers. So we're going to talk about that. What does it mean to have a band of brothers? Because, look, I've been in the ministry 40 years now. When I started, I had hair. And none of it was gray. And, you know, there have been times when I've gone through some rough times in the churches where I pastored, and I didn't have anybody to talk to. I learned early that I couldn't talk to my wife about all the things that were going on in the church because wives are more emotionally bent. That's not a bad thing. That's the way God designed them. I'm great with that. Trust me, you would not. These guys that want to marry other guys, I don't know how you would live with two men in the same house. I don't see how that works. Because if I had to be married to another Jerry Godsey, somebody would be dead by morning. I'm just saying, that's just not the way, that's not going to work. So, but I couldn't talk to her because then she would hold those things inside and she would feel bad about the people when she came to church. So I couldn't tell her. I couldn't tell somebody in the church that I was struggling because, what, I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to have all the answers. Yeah. I tried to just go it alone, and it took a toll. It takes a toll on you to think that you have to go through it alone. One of the greatest things about Remnant is I'm not alone in this at all. I got Jeremiah, I got Victor. Now, Vince is coming alongside. We got guys that we can, like my friend Dave Gable put it, we got guys we can cuss with. Guys that we can just be honest with. And we need that in our lives. We need that. Because you can't go it alone. You just can't. And a lot of us are so used to doing life alone that we think, well, isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Isn't that the way life is? Aren't we supposed to be that way? No. Solomon, the guy who wrote Ecclesiastes, was called the wisest man who ever lived. Ecclesiastes is a book full of questions and discoveries. He was looking for happiness and fulfillment. He's one of those guys who said, I did all of this stuff and went all the way down this road and I found out I was on the wrong road. So let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. I observed yet another example of something meaningless under the sun. And you hear this a lot. Here's things that are useful. Here's things that are meaningless. Ecclesiastes is a trip to read. I observed yet another example of something meaningless under the sun. This is the case of a man who's all alone, without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It's all so meaningless and depressing. Two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. Now, if you're like most men, you'll say, oh, I got a lot of friends. Do you? Do you? See, we somehow have confused proximity to friendship. The fact that you're around somebody all the time doesn't make them your friend. They're an acquaintance. We got a lot of guys that are acquaintances, but they're not friends. We live in a world where we're just crammed on top of each other now. I look at these new housing projects going up and these beautiful homes, and they were like right on top of each other. If you wanted to borrow bread from your neighbor, you could just reach out your second floor bedroom window and they could hand it across to you. I've never had a neighbor I like that much. Than one who's that close to. It's really nice here because my closest neighbors I got are the guys, and they're at the top of the hill. They got to walk to come get me. Our office cubicles are closer together. You ever work in one of those cubicle farms? I never have, and I don't want to. Yeah, yeah. If you go to the grocery store, you ever go to Walmart on a Friday night? You know, Good Friday, I laughed about going to Walmart. Good Friday service, I preached, and I laughed about going to Walmart on a Friday night, and I said, man, just shoot me. Guess where I went Friday night after church? To Walmart. And I'm standing there in line, and I thought, I was right. Just shoot me. Just put me out of my misery. The problem is, the closer we get in proximity, just being around, the more we become strangers in the crowd. We're standing around all of these people, and yet we still feel alone. Janis Joplin famously said that after a concert, that she said, I just made love to 10,000 people, and I'm going home alone. Look at this from Duke University. American's circle of confidants has shrunk dramatically in the past two decades, and the number of people who say they have no one with whom to discuss important matters has more than doubled. This change indicates something that is not good for our society. Ties with a close network of people create a safety net. Are you living alone? Do you have a network of confidants? Do you have people that you can turn to? And I don't mean just your pastors. I mean guys. Do you have guys that you can turn to? And I will tell you, gentlemen, you should not, under any circumstances, have a female who's not your wife as your confidant. You should not be doing that. That is how guys end up in divorce court. Or standing in front of people, standing in front of their kids and saying, Daddy has to go live somewhere else now. Because he doesn't know how to keep it in his pants. Told you, we're guys, we're going to talk. The great philosopher's three-dog night said one is the loneliest number. It is, isn't it? Solomon, even though he was one of the richest men of his day, understood loneliness. But there's something that he learned. He learned in life, late in his life, that friendship was invaluable. Proverbs 18:24 says, there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. A real friend sticks closer than a brother. See, an acquaintances will pick. That's how you know who your true friends are. Now, you got true friends. Look, I got a guy that was one of my best buddies, and when I see him, he calls me Maggot. Maggot, what are you doing? Because one summer at a summer camp, I was we called it the master disaster position. I was the guy who was in charge of recreation and all the stuff for the camp, and I called the kids Maggots all week. So we're at district council with all these other Assembly of God ministers, all these big guns. He walks up, hey, Maggot, how you doing? And my buddy, another pastor, looks at me and said, well, it's good to know you have the respect of your peers. See, here's the bottom line, guys. We need real friends. We need friends who we can share a strong bond with, men who are authentic, honest, and loyal. So that's friendship. Men who are authentic, who will not listen to your baloney, and they'll call you on it. True friend calls you on your stupidity. I used to golf with three other pastors every Friday morning. It started out just as us, we got a chance to golf for free in Yucaipa, so we did. But then we started sharing and became a really close-knit group of guys, and eventually it got to the point where it would take us forever to golf 18 holes because we were calling each other on their junk. Well, why would you do that? That's stupid. And you're getting ready to tee off, and this guy says, I can't believe you did that. Okay, but can I finish teeing off first? And we would get in discussions. We would have to pull off to the side and let people play through because we were barking at each other. And every one of us became better pastors because of it. Not necessarily better golfers. See, we need a band of brothers. That's why we're calling this retreat this. We need a band of brothers, not just party buddies. We need someone who has our best interests at heart. We need someone who will tell us what we need to hear, not just what we want to hear. Do you have anyone in your life that you can look at and say, that's the guy? That's the guy who's part of my band of brothers. That's the guy who, when I do something stupid, he kicks my tail into the curb. That's the guy who I have allowed, who I've given place in my life to call me on my baloney. And then Solomon goes on to explain why a real friend is important. Look at verse 10 and 12, 10 through 12 of Ecclesiastes 4. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. And I'm sorry, but every time I read that one, all I think of is the commercial for the Life Alert. I've fallen and I can't get up. Likewise, two people lying close to the other can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? Now, I will tell you that Victor and I were joking about using this verse. Because I think it's the NIV says two men lying close together. Okay, look, there are heaters in your rooms. You don't need anybody in your... Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And look, Solomon lived in a day when thieves were rampant. When you traveled from one place to another, you could be overcome by thieves. War could break out at any moment because somebody decided they like your place better than theirs. In our world, we face difficulties and hardships, and they come without warning. When you get that diagnosis that you have cancer, you didn't expect it. It just happens. When you get that phone call in the middle of the night that one of your loved ones has died or something bad has happened, it comes out of the blue. What do you do? What do you do when you struggle? What do you do in the dark night? It's O dark 30 and you have no idea where you're going to turn. You better have a band of brothers. And your relationship with the Lord needs to be strong before you get to those, not after. We guys, we're real good at saying, okay, you know, I'll go to church. I'll do my thing, you know, but I'm still going to be me. Because we all think that when the hard times hit, that we're somehow going to be able, that's when I'll get close to God, when I really need him. Listen, Sparky, you better do it first. I think one of the saddest verses in the Bible is when Samson, when they finally come in and cut his hair off, and he doesn't have any power. Delilah says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he says, I'll shake myself as before. And then here it comes. But he did not know the Spirit of God had left him. Wow. Let me tell you something, guys. In the dark night, when the struggles, when the stuff happens, you don't want to realize too late that you and God aren't close at all. God's plan for us is to face these struggles together as a family, as a band of brothers. So what does it mean to have a band of brothers? What does it mean that we're talking about this? And we want a band of brothers. I know at Remnant, we want guys who lift each other up. We want guys who bond together and decide they're going to be strong. We need that. So what can you do in a band of brothers? Well, first of all, I come to know God. In my band of brothers, I come to know God. A really successful young man walked up to Jesus and said, what's the most important thing in life? And here's what Jesus answered him. Matthew 22, 37 through 39. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. We have no problem with the first part of that verse. We understand it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. If you grew up around the King James like I did, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. But there's more to that verse. There's more to that passage. And we was talking in church about having a personal relationship with God. I have a personal relationship with God. I've had guys tell me, yeah, I don't need you to come to church. You know, I worship alone on Sundays. It's just me and God. You know, I worship God alone in my own way, usually on a golf course, watching NASCAR. That sounds good. Sounds great to be able to go it alone. Sounds great to decide that whatever you think is ministry. Sounds great. But I don't really think we can fully discover God alone. I think that only comes in fellowship. The fullness of what God is. See, because Jesus said the second half of that commandment is just as important. What's it say? A second is equally important. So what's Jesus saying? Well, it's just as important to love others as it is to love God. And I got news for you guys. Even if you don't think you need a band of brothers, there are men who do. And you should be part of it. Because it ain't all about you. It's about us. You might think that you're big shot. And, oh, I can do everything on my own. Well, you can't. And even if you could, maybe you should give some of that strength to other people. Our lifetime of discovery and getting to know God includes others. In fact, if you go back and look at, I challenge you to go back and read the New Testament with that lens on your eyes. That loving other people is just as important as loving God. When you do that, man, the New Testament just will blow your mind. If it doesn't blow your mind, it'll sprain your brain. That's an old saying, but I'm an old guy. You find in churches especially that as you begin to bond with other people, that as you grow in the Lord and as you put yourself around other people that are growing in the Lord, you grow exponentially faster. It's amazing what happens when we bond ourselves with other people. So let me ask you this. Who are you growing with? Right now, who are you growing with? Who is the person in your life that not only are you growing, but you're helping them grow and they're helping you grow? We got to have it. Who knows the real you? You know, all your warts, all your flaws. 1 John 4:20-21 says, if someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person's a liar. Boy, he didn't beat around the bush, did he? He could have said, you know, that person, well, they don't really know themselves very well. No, you're a liar. If you say you love God, but you hate a fellow believer, you're a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he's given us this command, those who love God must also love their fellow believers. Now, I've got to be honest with you. This is hard. We all have that guy we work with that we want to offer free dental work. Right? That tooth looks like it belongs somewhere else. I will help you. I believe your internal organs are arranged incorrectly. I will pummel you with my fists until we put them in alignment. I will lay hands on you and forget to pray. This week I told Craig I was going to kill him until God he died. Craig just laughs at me. Now. Exactly, yeah. 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 Yeah, don't count your chickens before they hatch, Sparky. We've got to be in relationship. And you know what? That's not how guys are wired. We're like the Lone Ranger. But even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. Tonto, let's go down and beat up the cowboys down there. Tonto says, what's this we? You get this bright idea, you can go do it. We need each other. And you might say, well, I'm not a people person. Yeah, I'm just not good at that. Well, suck it up, Buttercup. Whether you think you're good at it or not, you need to get good at it. See, it's that idea that we give ourselves that cop-out, and it's a cop-out. Come on. I'm not a people person. Shut up. You know how to be around people. But do you know how to care for people? Ask God to teach you how to be in relationship with others. This is true of our band of brothers. It's true of our wives. It's true of our kids. You can't just live in the same house with them. You've got to be part of their lives. Matthew 25:40, and the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. That's amazing. And Victor talked last night and did a great job about stepping up, and it's time. It's time for us to do that. And it is, guys. It's time. Our churches are run by women. That's why men have faded away from the church for so long. When they get there, it feels programmed for women, and it is, because most congregations are about 60, 70% women. So where do we go to get to be men? It's got to be with other men. You can't bring your wife. You just can't. Got to be around guys. Got to have a place where you can be you. We need that. And here's the thing, it's ministry. We get to heaven, God's going to reward us and say, man, you did a great job, Jerry, thank you. And you know, and you helped these guys. Wait a second, when did I do that, God? I don't remember doing that. And that's what this verse is. Whatever you did to the least of these, whatever you did to the people around here, you did it for me. So in a band of brothers, I can come to know God. And in a band of brothers, you can come to know God. And together, you know what that means? We can come to know God. We need that. Second thing about a band of brothers is I find a place to belong. Look at Romans 12, 4 and 5. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Remnant is the first time I've ever shared leadership. I've always thought that as the pastor, I had to be the guy. With God's help and grace, I will never go back to that ministry role ever again. I don't think churches should have the guy. Because there is a huge advantage to having two guys, three guys,
12 guys,
who can come together with the same purpose, not the same mindset. When, you know, Jeremiah's going to teach tonight. Jeremiah and I have different styles. We're different in the way we teach and everything else. But there's something amazing about knowing that I'm a different part of the body of Christ than Jeremiah is. I'm a different part of the body of the Christ than you guys are. We all fit together. And we got guys thinking they're, you know, they're the thumb. I don't need the rest of the body. I'm a thumb. All right. Try walking home with your thumb. Yeah, you know, I've coached baseball and football for years, and I've had times where I sat down a really, really good player, maybe a great player, sat him down for a few plays or pulled him out in the middle of a game because they lost sight of the fact that no matter how good they were part of a team. And when you start freelancing and doing your own thing, there's problems. I wasn't always a Charger fan. In Junior Seau, when he was playing for the Chargers, I used to say all the time that the best way to beat Junior Seau was to go where he was supposed to be because he wasn't going to be there. Junior had a tendency to kind of freelance and run around and do his own thing. And it was hard for the coaches to coach him because they never knew what he was going to do because he didn't know what he was going to do. That's frustrating as a coach. I told my players, all right, look, we've designed the play. I'll tell my offensive lineman, okay, I want you to go out here and you got to hit this linebacker and push him that way. And then you'd watch them during game time and they're milling around like cattle. And honest to goodness, they would shoot out of their blocks and think, oh, he's going to devastate somebody. And they would just stand around and look. Because here's the problem. The defense was never where we thought they were going to be. So I decided, okay, I'm going to quit telling him hit the linebacker. I'm going to tell him, okay, look at the color of your shirt. Look at the color of his shirt. If it's different, hit him. Because what we're trying to do is make a lane for the guys to run through. Okay, coach, I can do that. Look, we just need to understand what our job is. We need to understand how we all fit together. No matter how good Michael Jordan was, he needed Scottie Pippen to win championships. Everybody said LeBron James is going to come to the Lakers. Oh, the Lakers are going to the playoffs. Not so much. Because LeBron James may be the greatest basketball player on the planet. I don't know. But he can't do it by himself because he's playing a team with five guys. No matter how good you think you are, you need others around you. That's why Ephesians 4:12 says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Strength in numbers. It always amazes me. If you watch like live PD, or it's happened on scenes, right? We had a 1018 come out over the radio. 1018 means officer needs help. He's not hurt. That's a different code. We don't use that unless it's really an emergency. 1018, hey, I'm about to get overwhelmed. So they showed up with this one call. It was a guy that was just high as a kite in Heber, and they sprayed him with pepper spray, and he did this. You're in for a rough morning from that point on. So guys are hauling in code 3 from all over the valley, just hauling to Heber. And when I showed up, there's like 20 cars there from different agencies, Border Patrol and CHP, because everybody wants to get in on something. It's a boring morning. Let's go do something. We show up, and this cop that was all by himself has got an awful lot of guys around him that are his help now. Because here's the thing. The guy's family was there, and they were starting to get froggy. And so the cop was there all by himself, and he was surrounded by 4 or 5 family members. Our guy showed up in strength. We had 20, 25 cops there. Changes the odds pretty quickly. That's what our life is about. It's okay to send out a 1018. It's okay for you to say, I need help. I need guys around me. They're going to help me. I love this story I found. September 19th, 2001. Flight 564. One of the first flights that was in the air after 9/11. And this flight coming out of Denver, it was tense. As they're about to pull out of the gate, the captain of the plane came out on the public address system. He said, I want to thank you brave folks for coming out today. We don't have any new instructions from the federal government, so from now on, we're on our own. The passengers listened in total silence. He said, airport measures have pretty much solved the problem of firearms being carried aboard, but not weapons of the type the terrorists apparently use. Plastic knives or those fashioned from wood or ceramics. Sometimes a potential hijacker will announce that he has a bomb. There are no bombs on this aircraft, and if someone were to get up and make that claim, don't believe him. If someone were to stand up, brandish something such as a plastic knife, and say, this is a hijacking, words to that effect, here's what you should do. Every one of you should stand up and immediately throw things at the person. Pillows, books, magazines, eyeglasses, shoes, anything that'll throw him off balance and distract his attention. If he has an accomplice or two, do the same with them. Most important, get a blanket over him, then wrestle him to the floor and keep him there. We'll land the plane to the nearest airport, and the authorities will take it from there. Remember, there will be one of him and maybe a few accomplices, but there are 200 of you. You can overwhelm them. Declaration of Independence, he continued on. The Declaration of Independence says, we the people, and that's just what it is when we're up in the air. We the people versus would-be terrorists. I don't think we're going to have any such problem today or tomorrow or for a while, but sometime down the road it's going to happen again. And I want you to know what to do. Since we're a family for the next few hours, I'll ask you to turn to the person next to you, introduce yourself, tell them a little about yourself, and ask them to do the same. At the end of the speech, the plane erupted. I love these words. There's one of them and 200 of you. He's toast. You can overwhelm them. Of the planes that went down in 9/11, one plane had guys who went into action. Let's roll. You know what? You may try to take me down, but I'm not going without a fight. I like what, I can never remember his name. A guy from the Marine Corps said, if you find yourself in a fair fight, your tactics suck. I don't want to be in a fair fight with the devil. I don't want to be in a fair fight with the struggles that happen in my life. I want the odds on my side. I'll put out a 10-18 when I need to. And you need to be able to do it too. How many of us sit quietly while our lives and the lives of those we say we love go down in smoke, all because we never band together? How many of us struggle simply because we're too proud or too obstinate or too stupid to say, you know what? I'm drowning. I need help. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22 says, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You're citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family." You ever think it's strange that the word family keeps cropping up when they were talking about church? It's family. And you know what? Family fights. You got some of your church you don't like? Okay. I got family members I'm not crazy about. They're probably not crazy about me. I do stand-up comedy. And I use my brother and my mom as points of my humor. Because they're funny. So my brother sends me a text. "I don't want to be in your comedy show anymore." And I wanted to ask him so bad, "Yeah, but was it funny?" We're family. Together we're his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are all, listen to this now, we are all carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Jews and the Gentiles, and the Jews did not think that, in fact, there were people called the Judaizers, that felt like to become a Christian, a follower of Christ, you had to first become a Jewish guy. So if you were a Gentile and weren't circumcised, that meant you had to be circumcised before they let you follow Christ. Can you imagine the altar call? Guys, when you come to know Jesus, that's great. Now step over here, drop your trousers, and Bob's going to welcome me into the home. Yeah, I don't think that's going to go over well. Hey, we're part of a family. We're built together to become God's holy temple. And I don't know about you, but one guy standing by himself isn't a family. And you know what? Just like our families, you don't get to choose your family. Did you choose your family? I mean, you might choose your wife. Maybe I thought, in retrospect, maybe not so great. She may be thinking the exact same thing, so don't get cocky. But I didn't choose my brothers. I didn't choose my cousins. Some of those guys are whack jobs. I got a cousin, the cousin that plays in a rock and roll band. He's in his early 50s now. Always wears a cowboy hat. Long hair flowing out of the cowboy hat. He takes it off, he's bald on top. And he's got a skullet. You know a mullet? Well, if you're bald on top, it's called a skullet. He's got a skullet. And I'm thinking, I find it hard to believe we're from the same family. But I got news for you. You're part of a family. You're part of God's temple. You're part of the body of Christ, and you belong. You may feel like you're the armpit of the body of Christ, but you belong. I had a preacher friend who said he's met all the heels in the body of Christ. Maybe. But you're part. See, because in a band of brothers, there is always a place for you to belong. In a band of brothers, I find a place to give and get. 1 Corinthians 12. Going back to the body. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. We're all the same. People think, oh, well, you're a pastor. Yeah, just my job, just my role. I'm no more important than the guy who turns on the lights, the guys who come set up chairs. I'm not, because without them, church doesn't happen. When I was a youth pastor at Faith Assembly, way back in the day, my uncle Bill Brewer was the pastor. I was the youth pastor. And in the middle of August, when the air conditioner doesn't break, the youth pastor, the pastor, not really all that important. The most important guy in the church was Larry Murphy, who would come in the middle of the night and fix the air conditioners so that everybody could have church the next day. Because if Larry didn't come fix that church, that air conditioner, you tell me what it's going to be like having 300 people in a room with no AC in August in El Centro or in Imperial. Yeah, it's not going to be pretty. We're going to have to recarpet. The sweat is just going to pool all over the place. People walk in the next day like, was this a barn? Nah, I just had a lot of people in it. When we come to Christ, we are connected like parts of a body. Connected. 1 Corinthians goes on. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that doesn't make it any less a part of a body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? And I love that imagery. Can you imagine somebody who's just an ear? Did you ever hear the story about this is not my notes. You ever hear the story about the little kid who was born, he was just a head? No body, just a head. And as he grew up, he's just a head. And one year at Christmas, his dad said, guess what, I got you a gift. He goes, oh, please, not another hat. You'll get that later. And he says, no. He says, you're 18 years old now. I'm going to take you to a bar and buy you a beer. So he takes the head to the bar, sets him up on the bar. They give him a beer, and an arm pops out. Whoa, bartender, give him another beer. Gets him another beer. Another arm pops out. Let's keep rolling. They keep giving him beers, and body parts are popping out. Finally, he's a whole person, and he's drunk out of his mind. But he's a whole person. He says, I'm going to go home and tell mom. And he walks out of the bar and he gets hit by a bus and he dies. You know the moral of this story? Quit while you're ahead. So bad. So bad. There's nothing spiritual about that story at all. I cannot tie that back into anything. I just wanted to tell it. If you lose a limb, your life changes. You ever hear the term sticks out like sore thumb? That really doesn't mean anything to you until you have a sore thumb and you realize how often you bang it on things. If you got a sore thumb, oh, ow, crud. You know, it seems like you're always hitting it on something. Look, you have a place in the body of Christ. And if you pull yourself away or decide that you're not special or that nobody else is special enough for you. I've heard that too. I just need to find another place to worship because those people aren't as spiritual as I am. Dude. They're probably better off without you. Now look, I understand you go to a church and all of a sudden they're just not, it's not, maybe the preacher's not a good preacher. Maybe you're not being fed. Either find a way to get fed or find a new place. I get that. But you need to be part of the body of Christ. Look, somebody opens the Bible, starts teaching, I can get something out of it. Even if I'm doing it on my own while they're preaching. I never do that when Jeremiah's preaching, by the way. Not only do you have a place where you can be fed when you're in the body of Christ, you have a place where you can give. And that's just as important. You don't shop for a church or a band of brothers the way you shop for a supermarket. Some people go to Aldi. Some go to Walmart. Some go to Vons. Why do you go to Vons? Oh, I like their meat prices. Okay, great. You can't go to a church. Well, why do you go to that church? Well, I like the worship leader. Okay, is that all? Because if it's all just about what you're going to get, you're missing the point. What are you going to give back? Every one of us should be giving back to the churches we attend. And I don't mean with your money, although pastors will never say no to that. We're not stupid. But I mean, what are you giving of yourself? What are you doing to help that church get better? Are you grabbing three or four guys on Sunday and say, hey, let's go have coffee this week? You have coffee and you sit around and you talk about some stuff that God's doing in your life. Revivals are born in those coffee shops. Everything's revival happens at the altar and the pastor preaches this great message. Man, I gotta be honest with you. I believe revival starts when we start turning inward and we start turning outward and we begin to bring people around us and we start praying and God starts moving. Ephesians 4:16, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. So that the whole, it helps, as each one part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. A body that is a whole body is connected. A body where all the limbs and all the organs are growing. That means we're forming bonds of friendship, of relationship. We're connected through openness and honesty, and we're helping other people grow too. I said earlier, who are you helping grow? Who's helping grow you? Because don't think that this is all sacrifice. But you know what I found? When I first went into the ministry and I started researching things so I could speak and so I could put my sermons together, I found out that in my time of putting all the stuff together and listening to God and then being able to get up and minister on Sunday, I found that my relationship with God got stronger too because I was spending more time with Him trying to help other people get better. When you take the focus off of your own life, you realize that you're getting stronger. So, in a band of brothers, I found a place to give and get. Dean Merrill tells the story of a man who lost his profession because of an indiscretion. He doesn't go into great detail about it, but it sounds like it was a guy that was in the ministry of some kind, and he had an indiscretion, and he lost his ministry. So he took word as a laborer simply to put bread on his table. Near the end of the third week, he felt he couldn't take it anymore. He said, I'll work till break time this morning, and then that's it. Didn't know what he was going to do, but he knew he couldn't take it anymore. So I'm going to work till break and then I'm done. I'm going home. I just can't handle any more of this. A while later, he decided to finish out the morning then leave at lunchtime. Shortly before noon, the foreman came around with paychecks. And as he handed the man his honeymoon, he told him, hey, did I say honeymoon? As he handed the man his envelope, he told him, he said, hey, someone working in the front office says they know you. Says they go to church with you. When the laborer opened his envelope, he found his check, and along with it, a handwritten note. It said, when one part of the body of Christ suffers, we all suffer with it. Just wanted you to know that I'm praying for you these days. He stared at the note, astonished at God's timing. He was going to quit. He was going to give up. He was going to go home. Had no plan other than that. Here at his lowest hour, this person had given them the courage to move on. Gave him the courage to push one more load of bricks in that wheelbarrow up that ramp. Guys, that's what being part of a band of brothers is all about. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the ability to help somebody push that wheelbarrow bricks one more time. We're talking about somebody else giving us the power, the encouragement to push one more wheelbarrow bricks, to go home one more day. It's not perfect there, but somebody tells you, you know what, man, I believe God's going to help you with your home. I believe God's going to help you with the struggle, things you're struggling with. And I'm praying for you. I love telling people, I'm praying you like only a bald, fat, white guy can pray. Nobody can pray like us bald, fat, white guys. Who are you doing that for? And who's doing that for you? If you're like most guys, the answer is nobody. That's not the way God wired you. God wants you. God needs you to be in fellowship with other guys. It's time for us to become a band of brothers. Make no mistake about it. Everything this weekend is designed for this right here. We're going to go play frisbee golf? Great. Don't just go frisbee golf with the guys you know. Go with the guys you don't. Get to know them. Reach out. Look, as the pastor remnant, I'm expecting a band of brothers to rise up out of this retreat. That's why we do it. I'm not just trying to give you a cool weekend in the mountains. I mean, I'm glad you guys are enjoying it. But it's for more than that. We're going to pray. And as we do, I want to ask you the question I ask you a couple of times. Who are you growing with? Who are you helping grow? Who's helping you grow? We need a band of brothers. Father, thanks. God, we love you. You are so good to us. God, the Lone Ranger is a story. It was never meant to be a lifestyle. And right here, right now, Father, we have the makings of a band of brothers. We just have to do it. So, Father, I pray that you'll begin working in the men that are here right now, that they would reach out to other men, that they would open their hearts to be the men you want them to be, in fellowship, in relationship, with openness and honesty, and that, God, you'll move in their hearts. Thanks, Father. Father, I pray that you will work in the heart of every man to find 2, 3 guys, 4 guys that they can bond with. That they can say, you know what? I'll call you on your baloney. You call me on mine. God, it's so important. Because the long night is coming. For somebody in this room, the long night of struggle is coming, or it's already here. God, it's time for us to give and to get. Thanks, Father. Thanks, Father. Move in us now, God. We ask in your name. Amen. We're gonna sing one more song, right? Sing one more song. And when we do, you may find yourself in a band of brothers with somebody you didn't ever expect you'd be in a band of brothers with. You look at that, that's not who I would have chosen. Let God choose. Just be open. That's all I'm asking. Be open and don't be a pain. I can't find anybody. That just means you're being a pain. Right? If they're nice enough to have you, you ought to be nice enough to have them. I love you guys. That's why we're here. Next year we have this retreat. Let's maybe have to have it somewhere else because we can't fit them all in this room. Wouldn't that be cool? How's it going to happen? Band of brothers. That's all stand. Love you guys.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You've